From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's time for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by the Minnow Bucket in North Platte. The Minnow Bucket, nobody has a better selection of outdoor tools and toys for every hunting excursion. Gear up at the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Now, time for the show. Here's your host of the Outdoor Connection, Rick Windham.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Jeff Rollinson with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. I've got to come up with an official designation, something like friend of the show, because Jeff's been on here a number of times, but you've earned some type of something you can hang on your wall.
I enjoy it every time, by gosh. So good to talk to you. How you been doing, Rick?
It's been a while, yeah. It's good to talk to you, good to hear from you.
We need to get off this show and then catch up on old times.
Exactly. We need to get our True Grit squirrel hunt done.
I'll tell you right now, when we do, it's going to be epic. We're going to have cameras and video. I mean, it'll be epic.
If the TV show for Game and Parks was still on, it'd have to be an episode of that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no question about it. No question. And just real quick, folks, how this started was back when the latest version of True Grit came out. Of course, Rick and I, big Western fans, big single-action pistol fans, and we both hunt with pistols, single-action pistols, and we both squirrel hunt, and we like to squirrel hunt. And we got talking one day, Rick, if I remember this conversation, we need to get out and do a squirrel hunt with our single-action pistols. And I said, we'll call it the True Grit Pistol Hunt. And then we just laughed and laughed. That's perfect. Yeah.
Yep. And it has stuck.
There's no question about it. It will happen. But, you know, it's on. It might make it to the bucket list now because we talked about it so long, but it will happen.
It will. I actually went out and made a special purchase. I had a couple single-action 22s that would have worked, but the Ruger single six that has the 10-inch barrel on it.
Yes, yeah.
I went out and bought one of those just for this hunt. So
that's a classic. That is a classic.
It's had about 50 rounds through it just for practice, so it's ready. It needs to go.
Oh my gosh! I bet it's a tack driver too.
I don't think there's a tree tall enough in Nebraska that I couldn't get a squirrel out on top of it.
Well, I tell you, when you think about single action squirrel hunt, pistol hunt with squirrels, I think the Ruger Super Single Six probably is the bar at which all others are judged, right? And I think, you know, my Ruger Super Single Six 22 mag is and had some custom work done so that it's a little bit slicker and a little more accurate now for my taste, but it's one of those. Now it's probably as accurate as one of those 10-inch barreled ones, but it's one of those guns you can take out to the field on your hip. You sit down in the squirrel woods, relax, and all of a sudden you've got that single action out, and you're taking squirrels, and it is a blast.
That's one thing I need to do is get a leather holster made for this pistol.
Oh yeah, it deserves a good one.
I've got one of the nylon Uncle Mike's, and yeah, it fits, yeah, it works, but that's just not right.
No. You know, all my hunting handguns, I'm a firm believer in having good leather holsters for them. Sometimes that means I go the custom route to have a decent holster made. Other times you can find some. Just depends on the gun and the size and whatnot. But I agree with you, Rick. There is nothing like a leather holster to carry that gun around, and a good leather holster. I like lined leather holsters. A lot of times I like basket weaving or fish scale stamping on the outside. I think it just looks so slick.
Just dress it up. And
that's
a good single action Western gun. That's part of the image that comes into your mind when you think of it.
Yep. Agreed. Well, and just about 6 months ago, I came into for one of my 45s, I came into a really nice leather holster with floral carving on it, and dark black and then light tan floral carving into the holster. And I tell you what, that is a pretty darn neat looking holster.
Well, I'll have to check this one out sometime. Well, let's start back kind of at the first. It's a new year, so let's talk about
new year.
Probably a time to remind everybody to check their hunting and fishing permits, boats, registration, stuff like that.
It is. You know, how many of us, especially, I think this is the one, you know, sometimes hardest to remember for those of us who are diehard hunters. You know, you're out going in the field constantly, so you're just another day out in the field, and you remember, oh my gosh, it's January 1. I've got to get my permits, right? And so make sure you do that before you head out to the field for the new year, and make sure you just go online to outdoornebraska.gov and permits, and make sure you download your new hunting license and your new fishing license and your habitat stamp and waterfowl hunters. While the federal stamp stays July 1 or into June. The state waterfowl stamp ended December 31st, so the new one starts January 1.
Right.
So you just got to remember those things. Your fur harvester license to go out and call, you know, the critters and the raccoons and, you know, fox and bobcat and all that, you know, those all need to be renewed January 1. So that's a good reminder. Now, you know, most people were probably thinking about that over the holidays, making stocking stuffers out of those things. Your park sticker, for example, that's an incredible gift to give somebody. But now here we're in January 1, get that park sticker, get all those things renewed.
Exactly. And I really have to think about it, because I'm lucky enough to have that fish license, so I'm not thinking about it normally.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good one to have, right? Because once you buy the lifetime, not only do you not have to think about it, but especially for kids, it's cheapest when you buy it for kids, because when they leave the state sometimes to go off and do other things, if they have that lifetime hunting license, fishing license, they can come back as a resident and hunt on that the rest of their life. It's a great thing to have, but for us, you know, curmudgeons, it's just nice to not have to think about it after that. You know you're covered.
That's right. That is one of the coolest things that Nebraska has done with that permit, is give you that resident for life status when you come back to buy other permits. For example, I was looking at elk permits out in Colorado the other day. You know, an elk permit here in Nebraska, I think now when you put in, is what, $35, if I remember right, something like that.
Yeah.
Is $478 for me to go to Colorado as a non-resident.
Elk hunting in Nebraska for Nebraska residents is one of the, you know, I think it's one of the greatest jewels that we have to offer. And, of course, you know, the getting the permit is one thing, but the hunt itself, you know, and you know Western Nebraska better than anybody. I love Western Nebraska. I love the people of Western Nebraska. There's something about the folks in Western Nebraska, the farmers, the ranchers, the folks in town. They're some of the best people we have in the state, and some of the best opportunities we have in the state. I absolutely adore hunting the Pine Ridge, and even deer hunting and whatnot in elk country. To me, is just you know, the high for the year for me. I am a big fan, a big fan.
And the elk population out here, as you know, is expanding. I now have elk probably within a mile to 2 miles of my house. There are some days I can sit on my patio in the evening at the right time of year, and I can hear elk bugle.
Oh, that's just incredible.
That is cool.
And there's just such value to the state, certainly the folks in Western Nebraska, but also the state as a whole, to know that we got those big critters roaming around. I mean, it just, you know, we are the gateway to the West, and I really think that there's just some incredible value to that. And man, I'll tell you what, an elk hunt in Western Nebraska is one of the greatest. I mean, that's a bucket list adventure for anybody, as far as I'm concerned.
And I'm sure you've seen some of the pictures, but man, we grow some good ones out here.
You know, isn't that the case? I mean, there are some beautiful elk in Western Nebraska, and the Pine Ridge country of Nebraska. There are some incredible, incredible elk, and rival anything. You know, to me, they can rival anything across the country in terms of beauty. So yeah, we're blessed. There's no question about that. And like I said, right along with the people that are out there with them, we're just absolutely blessed.
Another thing that Game and Parks has done, and I believe this is maybe the first or maybe the second year, but you have some winter events that start right away after the first of the year in the state parks.
Well, we do, and of course, you know, we started off with the first day hikes that you know, giving people a chance early in the start of the year to get out to the state parks and start off the new year doing something really cool. Those have gone over really well, and then of course, it's just activity after that. And some of our really active parks, of course, Mahoney State Park is one of those, but, you know, in Platte River in the eastern part of the state. But, you know, I always tell people, you know, Chatham and Fort Robb, while a lot of the amenities have changed over the wintertime. Some of the coolest state parks to get out to and enjoy in the wintertime. And, you know, some of the best things going in some of these areas, of course, is just winter hiking or snowshoeing, wildlife tracking and, track IDing and whatnot. There's just so many wildlife to see in some of these areas. And certainly, my favorites, again, Fort Robb and Chatterton for getting out and hiking and seeing wildlife. Winter camping is a big deal in a lot of our state parks. Especially as you head out in western Nebraska to some of our really, really rugged, beautiful state parks, where waking up in the morning is going to entail the big, beautiful Pine Ridge Buttes in the background and pine. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. And well, so there's just so much opportunity there. Some of my favorite time, and I think wildlife just stand out better in the winter. There's a lot less people to interact with if you're looking for a little more solitude. Winter camping and winter, some of our parks that have cabins, Mahoney, Flat River, Ponca, just incredible this time of year.
I would be remiss if I didn't throw Buffalo Bill Ranch in there. They have some great hiking trails right along the North River there. And this time of year, there's still open water, so there's lots of geese in there, lots of waterfowl to watch. It's pretty cool.
Buffalo Bill is one of those jewels in Nebraska, not only for the amenities, but for history buffs like you and I. This is Buffalo Bill's ranch, right? This is the guy himself. This is where he ate, slept, shot his six shooters, worked his livestock. This is, and had his horses. It just doesn't get any more nostalgic than that. Yeah, and so of course there's always things going on there. We put in a new archery range. This is a smaller static type target archery range up there, outside of the campground area. There, it's a neat little area by the river, and I encourage archers to check that out as well. But we're Buffalo Bill, and I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, but
I've already written about it.
But when it comes to the shooting sports, we've got some other plans that we're working on right now in the design phase that need to move out fairly shortly here. But what a cool opportunity to think, man, Buffalo Bill's legacy was certainly, the shooting sports of the time. There's no question about that, as personified in his Wild West show. And wouldn't it be cool to be able to go back to his ranch and have kids come out there and learn how to shoot and learn how to learn about some of the tricks and events that they did back in the days of the Wild West show, and learn about the peoples, the Native Americans and the cowboys and cowgirls that were involved in that, and their impacts to Nebraska. I just think there's some really cool opportunity, and we're looking at doing some neat things over the next year or two.
A little bit of history that you may not even know this.
Uh-oh.
Next time you're out, go to the big barn and look at the rafters at the end of the roof. Do you know who that was in honor of?
Well, if you're talking about the rafters, that they're shaped like the rifle stock.
End of the rafters are the buttstock and the first foot or so of the rifle as you see it go up into the roof. Yeah. That was his tribute to Annie Oakley.
Well, that is so cool.
Yeah. Think of those names and think about the fact that you're standing in the same spot.
Yeah. Well, that's just, okay, go there, because that's just it. You're standing at that barn. Annie Oakley was at that, his ranch several times.
Yep.
And she stood at that barn, and she probably stood in the same spot you're going to be standing at when you're looking at those rafters. And then if you look up on the edge of the barn there, on the front of the barn, there is an upside down ace of spades.
Ace of spades, yeah, that was her trademark shot.
That was her trademark shot, and Buffalo Bill, just in honor of her, was just so enamored by her. Yeah, he designed parts of his barn to reflect his appreciation and amazement and the legendary Annie Oakley. So, all that history just comes to life, bigger than life here at Central Nebraska. So it's just a cool opportunity. And I don't know, if you haven't been out there to Buffalo Bill, you are missing out on some of the coolest history the state has to offer.
We got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about a couple other items here for the first part of the year. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
Save $3 million $16,247,625.
But only if you spend $16,238,125 during the After Christmas Bonus Sale now at Bruce Furniture in Hastings, Holdridge, Alliance, Kearney, and North Platte.
Everything's on sale.
And for every $100 you spend, we'll give you $20 in additional furniture absolutely free, or receive 6 years interest-free financing.
Plus, free delivery.
You can choose from 72 months interest-free financing or get $20 in free furniture for every $100 you spend.
Spend $500, get $100.
Spend $5,000 and we'll give you $1,000 in free furniture during Bruce Furniture's After Christmas Bonus Sale.
Grandpa, time to go play.
Gotta go. Take over, Michael.
The After Christmas Bonus Sale, going on now. And remember, when you're looking for the biggest value and the best deal,
time to go to Bruce Furniture.
Hey, it's Dave Ramsey inviting you to tune into the Dave Ramsey Show on News Talk 1240 KODY. Our show provides common sense advice that works. We call it God's and Grandma's ways of handling money. Tune in for a proven plan that's worked for millions of Americans for 25 years on the air. It's the Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. right here on News Talk 1240 KODY.
The Minnow Bucket is your one-stop shop carrying the finest bait, fishing tackle, and hunting supplies at the best prices. Remember, shop locally at the Minnow Bucket for all your ice fishing, hunting, archery, guns, ammo, and optics. And don't forget the ice-cold beer. Offering services like scope mounting, gunsmithing, minor archery, and taxidermy work. The Minnow Bucket, your one-stop shop for all your hunting supplies. 1013 South Jeffers Street, North Platte.
This is Melanie with Mincer Oil Company. On behalf of the owners and employees, I would like to thank our loyal customers for your continued business. We sincerely appreciate your patronage to our locally owned family business. We have been serving the fuel and oil needs in North Platte and many surrounding communities since 1984. With bulk fuel and oil delivery, 3 unattended fueling locations, and 5 convenience stores, we have everything you need. We welcome new accounts and look forward to serving you. Visit us on the web at www.minceroil.com.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Mostly sunny skies today with a high nearing 30. South winds between 15 and 20 and gusting as high as 25. Wind chill values as low as 12 below. Partly cloudy overnight tonight with a low around 12. Mostly cloudy on Saturday with a high nearing 45. Westerly winds between 5 and 15 miles per hour. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Back to the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham, brought to you by the Minnow Bucket. For every hunting excursion, gear up at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte.
Welcome back, everybody. My guest this morning is Jeff Rollinson, outdoorsman adventurer extraordinaire with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. We do get into some fun stuff. I mean, we talked a little bit about the small game squirrel hunting when we started off, but I did have that as a question. Like, you know, we get involved in deer seasons and waterfowl and stuff like that. A lot of people kind of lose sight of the fact that we've got a great small game season, and it's a long season.
Yeah, it is a long season and a fun season. And, you know, it's interesting. As you look across the country, a lot of people are starting today. We're going right to big game hunting. And you know, while that's exciting and that's cool, you know, it's almost a shame they're not starting out like maybe you and I did, and that is small game hunting and moving up into that big game hunting down the road, because, you know, small game hunting is here to stay. And, I mean, it is one of those things where we've got adequate access for small game across the state, if not incredible in some areas. We've got a lot of good, healthy small game populations, rabbits and squirrels especially. They provide a ton of fun, ton of shooting opportunities for new and veteran hunters alike. And if you think squirrel hunting is easy, you just haven't done it, all right? Because I'm going to tell you right now, they will test every fiber of your being. And I've seen, you know, just plain grown men leave the squirrel woods just mumbling to themselves, tied in every knot, because those things can just, they can have fun with you. There's no question, those squirrels. But gosh darn, they're fun, and they're tasty. You know, we did a Menard squirrel hunt here back in December for ladies from the BOW, the Becoming an Outdoors Woman program, and they just had a hoot. They just thought that was one of the coolest things that they had done, and it really is. You know, you and I, you know, we've kind of, you know, over the years shot our fair numbers of squirrels, I know that, and made our fair numbers of squirrel stew and squirrel soups and squirrel this and that. But, you know, if you're one of those people who say, oh, I've done that, I don't need to go squirrel hunt again, you know, try it with a handgun. Get out there with a good 22
exactly.
and do it again. You'll find that it's a whole different hunt.
It's some years back, not only my handguns, but I started doing it with air rifles, too. Some of the more higher-powered air rifles.
You're talking about a challenge. Yeah, absolutely. Go out, you know, mix it up a little bit. And have a little fun with it. You know, our mutual good friend and legend of the outdoors, old Dick Turpin,
he'd
go out there with a 32 caliber muzzleloader rifle. And, man, that makes things a little different, you know, when you're out there squirrel hunting. You earn every shot and every
was squirrel. He actually shooting the squirrel or was he barking them?
Well, I think he did a little of both. Now, there's an old technique, right?
There's an old technique, and I've done that with 45 caliber muzzle loaders where you hit the tree right below them and the bark explodes off of them and it's a concussion that actually takes the squirrel. So
well, and that kind of evolved out of the, you know, back in the 1800s when our old timers out there hunting with those big muzzle loaders and you just can't shoot a squirrel with a 45 or 50 caliber muzzle loader and expect it to go the way you might want to. So,
Not a lot left of it.
They do the next best thing.
Not a lot of meat left when you hit them with that.
No, not a lot of meat left. And so they'd bark them, and that way they wouldn't destroy the meat so much, and they'd have something for the pot. So
now, you mentioned the different things you made with your squirrel. I've taken squirrel meat and either dice it up or grind it and season it, and then I'll make biscuits and gravy with it.
Oh, I bet that's incredible.
It's very good.
Mm.
Very good. Mm. You need to try that one.
Oh, I do need to try that one. I need to try that one around a campfire. I think a campfire would make that one even better.
Yes. Yes, and do the biscuits in a Dutch oven there on the campfire, too. Just make it real traditional.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds delicious.
What about rabbit hunting? What are some of your techniques for that?
Heroes in Nebraska as well. I mean, tons of opportunity. And really something that a lot of people, you know, haven't grown up doing over the last 30, 40 years, and so they don't do it as much. You know, if ever there was an easy animal to clean, it was a rabbit. I mean, I think rabbits are probably the easiest critter of all to clean and to turn into something useful in the pot, right?
Yeah.
And they're just a ton of fun to hunt in the evenings, you know, mornings and evenings to get out there and chase those rabbits around and healthy populations throughout Nebraska. And again, it's something that, you know, kids can easily do with a 22 or a pellet rifle, a 410 shotgun. I mean, those are all kind of made for rabbits. And tons of opportunity for our veteran hunters as well. And again, they're not squirrels, probably more of the challenge than anything, but rabbits will give you a challenge as well. And man, they're tasty. I doubt too many things taste as good as rabbits.
When I was in college, you know, the proverbial poor college student, I ate a lot of rabbit. I found out that the commercial preparation, shake and bake, you know what I'm talking about? Works great on rabbits.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Works great on rabbits.
Yeah.
Rabbit hunting is one of my favorite things to do with a young hunter or somebody new to the sport, because there's so many elements you can wrap into that, particularly after a new snowfall like we've had out here. Tracking them through the trees, you know, getting, you know, telling them, letting them see the story of how it's going in the wild. And I've had a couple times where you see the rabbit track and then you see where the coyote cut in behind the rabbit, and then we found where the coyote got the rabbit. One of my best ones was the tracks led and it was going out across an open area, and then there was just this explosion divot in the snow, an explosion there, and you could see wing feathers in the snow. So
how cool.
You knew what happened there.
You know, and those poor rabbits, I mean, you know, they're all over the state, of course, and they breed pretty readily and populate pretty readily, but everything eats them. I mean, they're easy to eat. They're easy to, you know, they're easy for us to skin and eat. They're easy for every critter out there to skin and eat and to tear apart. And so they just make a great meal for every predator out there. And, of course, rabbits are the number one species we try to emulate when we're calling predators, because most of our predators know exactly what a squealing rabbit, you know, crying rabbit sounds like. And, you know, everything likes them because they're delicious.
Some of our wildlife management areas, you know, they're not known to be rabbit hunting areas, but they're, you know, thick brush, stuff like that. That'll test your woodsmanship to get in there and find it and then be able to pick it out of all the brush and get a good shot on it. That takes some skill.
Absolutely does. There's no question about it. You know, rabbits aren't just going to give themselves away. And especially after it snows, you know, like you said, you know, tracking them, looking for that really dark eye of the rabbit in the snow, you know, some of those techniques that can work really well. Brush piles, you know, deadfalls, and, you know, they're covered in snow around them. Those all can make really good little spots for rabbits to hide around and run out into a field and find food and run back into the tree line. Rabbits are a ton of fun. You know, one of my favorite ways to hunt rabbits, this is kind of silly, but I get up into the woods and either sometimes I've sat in a tree stand or just sit in the woods and just like I'm deer hunting. And after sitting for a little while, a lot of times you start hearing rabbits. And you start seeing a few here hopping around. And then all of a sudden, boom, you can take a few rabbits that way. And then, of course, walking through the woods and through those edges, a good edge territory for rabbit hunting, and walking around those brush piles and kicking a rabbit out, it can just work incredibly well.
We've burned up another 30 minutes here, buddy.
I figured it'd go fast.
I hear the music in the background, and that's Tristan's very kind way of telling me to shut up. So, anyway.
Good talking with you.
Good talking with you, too. And let's really try to get that bucket list squirrel hunt done this year, the True Grit squirrel hunt.
You know, I might be able to figure some time out this January still. So maybe it could be done sooner than later.
Very good. You have a great one, sir, and thanks for being on the show.
Happy New Year. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Folks, that's it for this week. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.